Welcome to KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program, where we explore issues and organizations related to our community. Talk of the Rock is hosted by members of the KMXT news team.
Good afternoon. I'm Maggie Wall on a very sunny June 4th, and welcome to Talk of the Rock. Today we're going to be talking about the library, and holy jamoly, just talking with these people here before we went on the air, there is a lot going on at the library this summer, and we have with us Lori Madsen, who's the library director, and Lori, I said Lori, yes?
Yes.
Okay, I thought I said Rory, and Roy Thomas, who's the youth specialist or the children's librarian. So why don't we start with Lori, introduce yourself, tell me what you do at the library, and then Roy can do the same thing.
Well, thank you, Maggie. As the director, I'm in charge of just about everything from the HVAC system to the library books to the digital libraries. But I have a wonderful staff who works for us at the city and very proud of the work that we do reaching out to the public and providing for everyone's information needs.
And then Roy?
Yes, good afternoon. As a youth specialist, I work with the youth of Kodiak in the library setting. So one of the tasks I do is help maintain the juvenile and young adult collection for the library, provide programming for families and children in the library, and lots of other engagement, helping parents understand early literacy principles and putting on story times to help engage parents in those early literacy activities, and other duties as assigned.
When you say programs, what kind of programs are you talking about? What does that mean?
So we have a few year-round programs that engage early literacy. The Lapsit story time for that newborn to around age three. It's a great time of we engage a story, some singing, and a time of social play after that. And we have a great crew of families that show up each week. Family discovery time on Thursdays is for kind of that preschool age, that 3 to even 8-year-old group, where we have a story and a craft or activity associated with the story. And then toddler story time, we hadn't had it for a while as the demographic just wasn't there, but we have a number of kids aging out of the Lapsit group. And so we're toddler story time is back on Fridays at 10:30. And that's a time of a story, a little more singing with that one, and then engaging some activities, puzzles, or some things of that nature. Those are our regular youth services events, as well as Lego Fun is every Wednesday at 3. It's an open time to come and build with Legos. And those programs are our year-round programs, and now we're getting ready to roll into our summer reading program. And for children, families, and adults for summer reading, we have events every Tuesday, alternating between activities and movies. And then we also have some special events scheduled throughout the summer as well.
And this is all free?
Of course, yes.
Yeah. Just wanted to make sure people realize that.
Oh, yes.
That you can just drop in. And actually, they've always, everybody at the library is so helpful. You just drop in anytime and they'll kind of gear you around to whatever your interest is.
Well, good. We want that to happen.
Yeah. So I just wanted to say, as you were talking about this, I think most people know this now, maybe not, how important it is to start kids with reading as soon as you can, even when they're infants and you don't think they even know what's going on, to just read to them. And they got those little pacing, you know, those kids' books are written just for kids so that they can relate to them.
Yeah, well, ideally we want to create an environment of literacy in our homes, and that doesn't mean creating a special program. It means engaging your children, face-to-face conversations, singing with your kids, reading to your kids. All of these things develop a culture of learning to read and literacy, and it's kind of a natural dynamic in most cases, but it does require some attention that we are thoughtful about engaging our children as they. And that foundation starts when they are the very smallest. They start learning that words have meaning, that words create our conversations. That's why we have, you know, for the earliest, we have what we call board books. And board books are durable, and they're meant to be loved and carried around by little ones so that they are constantly engaging literacy.
Right, right.
And even at that age, they get a sense of story, and reading a story over and over again, it becomes a part of their language, and the love of reading can start as early as 6 months old, even.
That's one of the conversations I have with parents a lot. They say, oh, they've read this one before, and I remind them that repetition is fantastic for developing literacy, and go ahead and read that favorite story 5 or 6 times a day. You might want to hide it once in a while, but for the most part.
Max and Rudy, Gossie and Gertie, or whoever it is. Yeah, the kids, and they remember that.
Absolutely.
I think they do.
They tend to they memorize them.
Well, that, and if I remember with my kids, I'd be reading to them at night, and I'd be so tired, and I'd skip a page, and they knew. You can't skip that part, Mom. it's fun to see the kids. How many come to that Wednesday?
So the Wednesday lap sit, including parents, we've had as many as 30 in there. So, but typically,
quite a crowd.
typically, we have eight to 12 children and their parents at that event.
Does the library have multi-language events and things?
Not yet. That's something I hope to work on. We do have many books in other languages. We did have a poetry reading this spring, and we had a Tagalog reader read poetry. But we, at one time, I believe years past, there was a story hour for young Tagalog speakers. It'd be fun to have one for Spanish speakers as well, but haven't pursued that yet.
So maybe you know, Lori, because you're involved with the school or because you're involved with the kids, Roy, if you're not an English speaker or if your home isn't English speaking, do these work? Are these helpful for them? If that you don't understand, or I don't know how it works getting the kids into the English language when their background is something else, Spanish or Tagalog or whatever.
Many of our kids are multilingual. While their parents may not be, you know, they are in our schools and speaking English in our schools. But the young kids, I don't know that we've had a demand for it, but certainly if we offered it, we probably would see some parents come. But so many kids are involved in English language as well. I don't mean to say it's not important, but...
So in multilingual households, there's actually a benefit to hearing both languages. And that's one of the nice things about our World Languages collection that we have in the library and in the children's library, is you have that grandparent or other relative who speaks only a second language. They can read those familiar stories, whether it be a Dr. Seuss or something like that, in their native language. So they're still building that literacy connection with their non-English speaking family members while they're still developing their English. So there's not a roadblock to working two languages as children develop literacy.
So, and I didn't know this. So we have a lot of books in the library in different languages, Tagalog and Spanish and whatever.
Russian, Chinese, Japanese, Portuguese, Italian.
I see.
Not necessarily all, not just children's books, though, but quite a selection of global languages, classics and kids' books as well.
Mm-hmm. I see. And so then that does make sense because Nana could take little Junior and... Betty or whatever, take them to the library and then read them in a way that they understand because they've got the two connections.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. All right. So I just didn't want to think that we were leaving somebody out. You know?
We don't want to do that.
No, we don't. Okay, so this summer, there are like a gazillion things going on here. The first one starts this weekend, Saturday.
Actually, it started yesterday. We had the kickoff of our summer reading program called A Universe of Stories.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yesterday we kicked off the summer reading program, and we had all the materials available for families to pick those materials up and start engaging summer reading. Today we actually have our first craft event for families. We're doing recycled spaceships. The meeting room's all set up for a 1:30 event today. And so we're going to engage a little bit of the creative process in building some recycled spaceships to take home. But summer reading allows us to engage families and children during that time. We sometimes refer in education to the summer slide, where kids aren't engaging books or things of that nature. So we package in a fun and engaging manner activities throughout the summer that engage literacy, engage concepts. The Universe of Stories this year has a STEM theme backing it up, as well as focusing on the universe and the solar system. Science, technology, engineering, and math are a big focus of the activities and things that will be happening. And that big event on Saturday is our first solar system walk. And throughout the community now, there's been placed a scale model of the solar system. Starts at the library with about a 20-inch sun for its diameter. And we're going to see just how far away the planets would be with that scale model. And so I'm going to lead a walk on the 8th at 1 o'clock and take you on an adventure out through the solar system.
And this is quite a bit of a long walk, right? Going out to Cost Savers?
Yes. Yep.
Not that long.
What, about a mile?
It's about a 2-mile jaunt out there.
Yeah. Oh, it's 2 miles.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Wow.
It should be fun. Well, yeah. The theme, Universe of Stories, goes along with the 50th anniversary of the moon landing. And so that's part of the reason for our focus on the solar system. But Roy's first big activity, that's this Saturday. And then you've got other things coming up for older kids as well and their families.
So the schedule pattern is, so this is week one. We have a children and family event at 1:30 today. The following Tuesday will be a movie at 1:30, followed by a teen event at 6 p.m. in the evening. And the teen events will be a movie activity combination. So we'll watch a movie related to the theme while we do different activities during those events. Mm-hmm. And that'll continue through the first week of August.
So what kind of movies?
Let's see. Coming up next week is Zathura for the children and family. We're going to Apollo 13 in the evening with the teens. And then week after that, let's see, 2 weeks after that, next movie would be Flubber. So I'm hitting that.
So I don't know these movies. Apollo 13, that's not the one I'm thinking of with Tom Hanks.
That is the one with Tom Hanks.
Okay, that is the one with Tom Hanks.
That'll be a teen event. And we're going to learn about moon phases. We're going to do a moon phase Oreos. So a little bit of fun and some snacks with those teens on the 11th. But Then the 25th, the movie Flubber with Robin Williams. It's a remake of a movie, but it touches on science themes. It's a comedy, and then that evening, Interstellar with the teens.
And the night before, on the 25th, every month we have a dinner and a movie.
Right.
You bring your dinner, we'll show a movie. Well, this month on the 25th, we're going to be showing Gravity, the movie about the astronauts that are floating around out in space. Sandra Bullock and good old, what's his name? you know the one, George Clooney, that one. And so that's our dinner and a movie this month will be.
Isn't that funny? Because I watched that movie and I didn't notice that was George Clooney.
Isn't it?
I don't know. Is he? I don't know. Because
I think so.
I really am like totally not into movie stars. So
okay.
I had to think twice to come up with Tom Hanks' name.
Well, and so that is, the other movie is kind of special. PBS has produced a movie called Chasing the Moon. It's part of their American Experience series, and in their celebration of the 50th anniversary of the moon landing, they have developed a 6 hours, three-part series that explores the 10-year space race odyssey. And we were fortunate enough to get a preview of one of the episodes that we'll be showing on Monday, July 1st. And the Chasing the Moon, we're going to be showing the clip from Saving 1968, about the first woman, Poppy Norcutt, who had an operational role in mission control. And this 25-year-old mathematics whiz proves herself kind of like Hidden Figures, but in the all-male environment of NASA. So this American Experience is not going to be shown here in Kodiak. It'll be shown on KAKM and probably streamed live on the PBS app, if you have that. But we're fortunate enough to get a 30-minute clip of that movie that will be showing on Monday, July 1st.
Well, that sounds good. Now, I remember some of this stuff. My mother made us stay awake so we could watch Walk on the Moon.
Oh.
And so I got to watch that live.
Oh, fantastic. So July 20th is the 50th anniversary of the Apollo moon landing. And we've got another documentary to show that night. It's brand new. It was assembled by, they gathered up 65 millimeter movie footage from the time period. I previewed the movie this past weekend, and it's visually stunning and really tells the story in a unique way. And we're hoping to include an oral history with that, and invite Maggie, you're our first invite, come and share with the Kodiak community your memories of that day, and share with the next generation. Oral history is a big part of literacy as well, and so having people recall their stories. One of my favorite events to attend in Kodiak was the 40th anniversary of the tsunami, and hearing Norm Sutliff and Wanda Fields and others share their account of that day. So oral history is real important to us as a community.
Right. It kind of gives us roots. Mm-hmm. It connects us as people.
It sure does. And so many of us don't remember what we were doing on the 20th of July, perhaps, but hearing other people's stories may jog our memory.
Well, I read once a gal whose books I read a whole lot of. She had a cabin in the Adirondacks. And so she figured she could watch it on video. So she went out camping and was out with the moon and was like one with the moon, right? And that seemed okay, I guess. But then I have a friend who lives in Anchorage. I met her going to school in Anchorage, and she said, oh, her mother said, oh, we'll just watch it on video, go ahead and sleep. And it's like, how could a mother say that? To me, that seemed so odd, because they made sure we were awake and we got in there and watched it live.
Yeah. But, and then our theme carries on through the month of July with activities on Tuesdays and movies on Tuesday nights. And so we're looking forward to a lot of exciting activities this summer in our summer reading program. And the kids have an incentive, right? And some of these activities that you've got going on, they have a folder where they make goals for their reading plans for the summer. Roy, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So everyone who enters into summer reading, whether they be 3 or 103, gets a folder with a map of activities that you are suggested to complete throughout the summer. And as you complete each one of those activities, starting with setting a summer reading goal, you get a sticker in your folder. And then when you complete that, we'll have some prizes for completing your summer reading program. And then we'll have a drawing for some prizes at the very end for those who have completed the summer reading program.
And we've talked a lot about what's going on for kids. We also have a science fiction book club that starting up this month. And we're reading the book Dandelion Wine, or we're not. If people who come are going to read Dandelion Wine, if you'd like to come and pick up your book, please let me know. They haven't arrived yet, but they should any day. Hoping to have a discussion on July 10th to talk about that book and maybe Bradbury in general, and pick another one if people are interested. But we haven't done any book clubs at the library this past year, and so I thought this would be a good way to kick off that idea of a group of people who might be interested in reading something that they don't read them, you know, with their own friends, or if they're not in a book club, might want to join this one.
And so I was going to ask you about book clubs, because I noticed that there are bags with book club books in them.
Mm-hmm. We have assembled, when we have multiple copies or many copies of the same title, we've put them together in a book bag that if somebody wanted to check out for their reading group, you could take all 5 of them or 8 of them or however many. And we also have suggestions from book clubs in the community who are reading a certain title. So when they let us know that they're reading a certain title, we can get multiple copies if that's needed. And so we have about 5 active groups who tell us what they're reading, but there must be others out there. So please let us know if you're reading something and we need to get copies of it for you.
That way people don't have to pay for the books.
Well, right. Or we'll buy them with the Alaska Digital Library so people can download them on their Kindles or on their Libby is the new app instead of OverDrive, but so you can listen to it or read it on your device.
Uh-huh. Now, here's something I learned that was new at the library, and I stumbled into it. And then during the book sale, the Crab Festival book sale, which is my favorite Crab Festival event.
Good.
Senator Dan Sullivan was in town.
Yes.
And I guess he was speaking to a bunch of fishing people in the Alaska room. And I didn't realize we had an Alaska room, because I noticed like the old library, they used to, at one point, had all the Alaska books together. And then they moved them and mixed them all in. And I noticed when I go there, they all, a lot of little Alaska stickers on the books. And apparently there's still an Alaska collection. Is
yes.
that the phrase?
It's a special collection of Alaskana material, primarily print form. We also have some videos and oral histories, like from the one the Baranoff Museum, Kodiak History Museum did on those oral histories of the West Side Stories. We have copies of that. But that collection was started many, many years ago, rare books primarily about Kodiak and Alaska. And I'm working, that's the next project, is to get it easier to find things and make sure that we don't have too many rare books out on the shelf. What happens is we have books that are in the Alaskana collection, but they're also out in the regular collection for circulation. The things in the Alaskana room do not circulate it's a room for research. Kodiak Public Library Association bought us a flatbed and slide scanner so people can scan things with help. We're hoping to get a new multimedia station in there for making movies, recording audio, and producing things with some of the things in the collection. Some things we probably would not allow to be on a flatbed scanner because they're 200 years old or something. But it's quite an interesting collection. And back in the day, when I worked in the library in the 70s, before computers, we had what was called a vertical file, which is where you put things of an ephemeral nature that may be produced later on in books. And if not, then you self-publish it and bind it in your own library. Well, that vertical file collection still exists. And so there's a little project that needs to be done in that room. And the other thing that exists is we have about 40 years of Kodiak Daily Mirrors mm-hmm. folded up and put in boxes. And I'm in the process of getting them bound into volumes so you can read them like big books.
Right. The mirror has those at their...
They gave them to us.
Oh, you've got theirs.
We've got theirs.
Yeah, okay.
Not indexed. So if you want to know what Corky McCorkle said in 1973, you're on your own there. But anyway, it's kind of fun to go through and living in Kodiak as long as I have, to read about friends and people who've passed on or people who aren't here anymore, and to have that collection in good shape. That's why the curtains are closed in that room. When you come up to the library, you'll notice that room is, the curtains are down to save because there's so much acid paper and that makes books fall apart.
Right. So,
but your people are welcome to use that room, and we do have meetings there occasionally. And as you said, Senator Sullivan was in there with a group of fisheries people, but we said, you can't drink or eat in here. And they, okay. So we don't.
But the fishermen with that coffee, man.
Yeah, they had to have their coffee before they came.
And what's the name of that? The Alaskana.
We call it the Alaskana Room or the Alaska Collection. And there's somebody named Crutchfield. I'll have to ask Marion Johnson about this, but there's somebody named Crutchfield back in the 50s who had a huge collection that was donated. And so it's called the Crutchfield Memorial Collection, which is a part of our collection. We also have A. Holmes Johnson's collection of sailing books that Dr. Bob and Marion donated to the library. And that's a mini collection within that room, as well as Bill Lammy, who lived here a long time ago. He collected books of Alaska, on Alaska, and they're a part of the collection as well.
Got it. Yeah, because the room is always dark, and I never noticed it. And then I noticed it, and I said, oh, I just thought it was like an office room till I saw the tag. And that was just like last week
or so.
Well,
you haven't been to the library very often,
No,
Maggie.
This was like last week or so.
It's
like,
where have you been?
No, I actually come to the library.
I'm glad.
Yeah, I like the library. So, and we are talking about library. We're talking with Lori Madsen, who's the library director, and Rory Thomas, who's the youth specialist, or what most of us would call the children's librarian. And gosh, we're almost out of time. I told you we would talk. We could talk all day, I'm telling you. Is there anything we should make sure that we cover? I mean, there are so many things. Okay, so how can people know all these things that are going on? That's probably a good place.
We're on
the
web at www.city.kodiak.ak.us/library. On that site, you will find our calendar, our list of movies and activities. We are open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m. And on Saturday, we are open from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Our phone number is 486-8686. And we're more than happy to help people in the community and the hinterlands find what you need.
You're also on Facebook?
Not yet. Well, there's another story. But the Library Association has a website, has a Facebook page. And so a lot of our activities are posted through the Public Library Association's Facebook page.
And so the Library Association is not the library, but they...
They're a friends group who raises money and helps support our program. They purchased some...
some of our new toys are that used during our literacy story times. That's one of our most recent grants from them.
And they helped with the art. We have new artwork in the library. Mm-hmm. If you haven't been in a while, Lena Snow Amos and Burns has two beautiful hand-carved or carved masks, as well as Stacy Studebaker's new octopus.
Her new book. Yeah, her books are great.
Yeah.
Oh, I think that's a phone ringing over there. Is it? Okay. Roy, we didn't talk about the robots.
Right. So we've got a couple real fun additions for this summer. One of them are STEM kits. Then back to that science, technology, engineering, and math concept. And we have three themed kits that will be part of the collection year-round after summer reading. But starting this week, there's a tote for going tide pooling, a tote for discovering engineering and bridge building, and a tote for discovering the properties of light, working with prisms. And those were made possible by a grant from the Kodiak Spouses Association, and really a fantastic addition to the collection. But the school district has loaned us Dash robots for the summer. And these are a great tool using an iPad and a couple different apps. You can learn drag and drop coding, which is one of the ways that people work with developing apps for mobile devices.
So cool. Lots of really fun things going on at the library this summer, as always. And I want to thank you both for coming. And
well, thank you for having us.
Yeah. Glad to have us. You know, library has one of my favorite phone numbers. This will be the last thing I say. 486-8686.
That's the one.
It's easy to remember. 486-8686. I remember that forever because it's just that little, like a little pattern, that little rhyme
that
there.
Helps you remember.
Yep. So thank you very much. And do encourage you to get out, go to the library. The thing on Saturday, the Planet Walk, sounds like a really cool thing. And thank you both for coming. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
This has been KMXT's Talk of the Rock, our local community affairs program. Tune in next Tuesday at 12:30 to hear more about local issues and organizations.